Now this morning we are going to continue in Hebrews chapter number 12. And as we've been looking at this series on faith, I trust you've been encouraged and helped, and you're enjoying what we are learning. Now a number of verses in Hebrews chapter 12 deal with the subject of chastening. And if you look with me quickly in verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." So the Lord has a number of verses here in Hebrews chapter 12 dealing with the subject of God's chastening in our lives. Why? Because we often forget about how He works in our lives. We often forget what the Lord is doing, and we often forget that He works in our lives by the way of teaching us, educating us through correction. And the Lord has much to say about this area of our life of faith. So we're going to look at this area together again. Why don't we read verses 7 and 8, and then we'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time, that we can study your word, that we can learn about you. Lord, help us not to be surprised and, Lord, to forget quickly how you work in our lives. Thank you for this school of faith that you've put us in, so that we may grow and we may become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, to learn something needful this morning. Lord, we pray that you bless the children's classes, bless Sister Olive, Sister Regina, Brother Andy. Bless each child and teenager that has come. Lord, we pray that under the sound of your word, souls will be saved and lives will be changed for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about our life in the school of faith. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we are looking at how when we become Christians, God puts us back in school. And it's not like the school you and I grew up in. It is a brand new school. God describes our life as a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And the entire course of our lives up to the very point that we die is a process of being educated by God. That's why we call this series With Christ in the School of Faith. And this morning we are going to look at, focus on, enduring chastening. Notice the first two words there, three words in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If ye endure chastening. Now God wants us to endure. He wants us to go forward. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we succeed. And the reality is, enduring God's chastening is not automatic. We need to know some things in God's word to help us to endure. We need to understand how God works. We may not have all the answers when He works in our lives, but we do know some things that He teaches us here this morning that will help us move forward in the school of faith. So the title of this lesson is Enduring Your Course. You see, all of us at the moment of salvation are put into the school of faith. But if you will, God has put us into different courses as Christians. God deals with us individually. God deals with us according to where He knows we need work and what areas He knows we need to grow in. So therefore, we need to understand this issue of enduring our course. The course that God has for us, the course that God has for me, is not the same as you. The course that God has for one another, we need to be careful not to judge each other, because at the end of the day, we are all sinners saved by grace, and we are all work in progress. But if we are going to press forward and endure, we need to learn some things. Roman numeral number one, here's your first blank. And our first thought this morning, we need to understand something about God's pressure. God's pressure. Your blank is the word pressure. The word pressure. If you miss any blanks, they're at the bottom, at the back page, on the back page. God's pressure. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7, if you endure chastening. Now, we understood earlier on this term what the word endure means. It means to continue, to press forward. But in fact, there's another meaning here. The word endure means to stay under, to stay under. So what is God saying, enduring chastening? God is saying, I want you to stay under my chastening hand. I want you to stay under, if you will, the weight that I have put on you. And that's the thought. To stay under the load that God has placed upon us despite its weight. Enduring God's chastening. God's pressure upon us. Now remember, chastening is not just a result of sin. The word chasten means to educate. The word chasten means to teach. It also means to discipline, but it's not always a result of sin. You see, our entire life is a life of being educated. Our entire life is you and I being taught by God. And we see this in the life of Joseph, don't we? Remember Joseph, how he was betrayed by his brothers. Joseph didn't do anything wrong, would you agree? No. In fact, he's one of the individuals in the scriptures that we don't read of that God mentions a sin that he committed. Joseph is a type of Christ also in the Bible, but Joseph was betrayed by his brethren. He was sold into slavery and he faced horrific adversity, didn't he? Think about how he was betrayed by his family. His own brothers, in fact, wanted to kill him, didn't they? And then they sold him into slavery. Then he was a faithful servant in Potiphar's house, but that blew up in his face, didn't it? He faced even harder affliction in that house because of Potiphar's wife who falsely accused him of sinning and committing adultery with her, but Joseph just did the right thing. Then we see him go into prison. Joseph is faithful in prison and God exalts him there, and the very ones whom he helps out and saves the life of a couple of the king's servants, they forget about him. They forget about how he helped them in prison. And we see Joseph going through trial after trial after trial, don't we? And we see Joseph going through the weight, if you will, and enduring God's chastening. Not because of sin, God is teaching him. God is preparing him. And what do we see happen? In time to come, Joseph, who humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, is exalted in due time. We see how Joseph comes through the trials. Joseph stayed under the load God put upon him, and God exalted him to the chief commander over all the land of Egypt. You see, Joseph stayed under the weight, didn't he? He stayed under the chastening hand of God. That's what it means to stay under God's chastening, to endure, to stay under. And God wants us to be faithful because he blesses those who stay under his hand. See, God blesses those who stay under. And God, if you will, in the school of faith, he doesn't want us to quit class, does he? He doesn't want us to skip class. He doesn't want us to cut the courses. No, he wants us to stay in the school of faith and the course that he puts us into. So your first blank there in your notes, we're looking at God's pressure. God's pressure. Now, if we endure, remember last week we spoke about despising the chastening of the Lord. If we endure, we won't despise his chastening. If we endure, we won't faint during his chastening. But we need to stay under his hand. And you know, for all of us, there'll be moments where we don't listen to God. Isn't that true? For all of us, there'll be moments where we don't want God's chastening hand. And we'll try to get out of it, but we need to change our hearts and say, Lord, help me to stay under
your work, your hand at work in my life. Now, you know, chasing is God's correction, God's teaching in our lives. And think about going into surgery on the operating table. Now, none of us would like to go into surgery, a difficult thing, an uncomfortable thing, oftentimes a painful experience as well afterwards. Physical pain comes as a result, but a doctor is not there to hurt us, is he? Is the doctor there to hurt us, yes or no? No. He cuts in order to heal. That's his goal. Likewise, our Heavenly Father does the same thing. He takes us into the operating theatre, if you will, of his chastening hand. And God doesn't want us to wriggle off the operating table, does he? And yet so often that's what we try to do. God gets to work on our hearts. He does some spiritual heart surgery. And no, it's not comfortable. I mean, which one of us this morning loves to see the sin that God digs up, the tumor of sin? Oftentimes he cuts and shows us what's really there. Why? Not in order to hurt us, amen, in order to heal us, in order to revive us. You see, God's chastening work is his spiritual heart surgery in our lives, and we need to be willing to stay on the operating table. Amen. I remember when I went to Bible college in my first year, I wanted to quit. I wanted to get out of there. I mean, I hadn't studied like that since I was in school. At university, I did graphic design. That was all art and colouring in, you know, kind of fun stuff. But I hadn't studied like that since I was in school. And suddenly, at the age of 27, I was doing tests and exams and assignments and memory verses. And there was no break, no pause, no recess. It was continual study. And in that first year, I wanted to quit. Why? Because the load was too heavy. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And you know, even in Bible college, I thought God had called me there because I was something special. In fact, soon I realized God had called me there because it was his chastening hand at work. He wanted to deal with me. He wanted to change me through that affliction of study and enduring and failing exams and failing quizzes and being humbled, being broken. But we all want to get out of it, don't we? The weight, the pressure. And I'm thankful for God's rebuke. In every chapel message, at every day at college, the Lord rebuked me. He corrected me. He chastened me through his word. Then others encouraged me. And I'm glad in the end that I didn't give up. Because the blessings that I enjoy today, that my family and I enjoy today in the Christian life, are a result of staying under the weight of his correction, his chastening hand. Now, I'm not saying I liked it, but it was needful. It was good for me. And it's good for you. We need to stay under his hand, because those who stay under the weight of his chastening, God blesses. Remember, it's just for a season. It's just for a season. It's just for a time. But don't wriggle off the operating table, because that's not going to help you and I. That's not going to help us to grow in our Christian life. So let's run the distance, amen? If we look unto Jesus, we can run with joy, we can finish the course, we can stay at it. But remember, there will be pressure, God's pressure. Notice next in your notes, secondly, what do we learn from these verses? Remember, also, we are God's pupils. There's another P word, God's pupils, students. Disciples. The word pupil means to be a student. That's your second blank. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. Look with me there. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with, what's the next word? Sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now what does this mean? Notice those words, God dealeth with you. When you look up the root meaning of the word dealeth, it means looking in for a closer look. So if I come along this morning, Sister Monica, and have a look, if you fill in your blanks, that's just like what God does in our lives when he chastens us. He comes into our lives to look in for a closer look. Now, how many of you remember being at school, sitting at your desk, the teacher's given you some work to do in class, and he comes around, and he's walking around the desk looking at who's doing what, and then he stops at your desk. And how many of you remember not feeling too comfortable when he did that? and just thinking to yourself, oh no, I didn't listen to what he said and what he was saying up the front, and now I'm lost, and that was me, you know, easily distracted, not paying attention. Then the teacher comes around and you're worried about what he's going to think. But remember, that's the world school. That's man's school. When we deal with God in the school of faith, we are dealing with someone else. We are dealing with someone that loves us. Someone who is our Heavenly Father. You see, the Bible says God dealeth with you as with sons. God leans in for a closer look into our lives, and He deals with us not just as a teacher, but as a loving Heavenly Father. We need to understand we are not just students of the school of faith. We are children of God. We are, if you will, not in public school, where sometimes, not always, and I'm not putting public school down, I'm just saying sometimes teachers are just there because they need a job. Isn't that true? I remember being at uni, the only reason the two teachers that taught me at uni were teachers, it was because they were not that skilled in graphic design and they couldn't find a work in the workplace. Couldn't find a job in the workplace, so the uni hired them and they were absolutely useless, I'm sorry, in the course. Finally, we had a great teacher who came along in our final year and everything changed. Why? Because, not because he was more skilled necessarily, because he cared about us. He cared enough not just to tell us off and say, I don't like that, that's horrible, you know, throw it to the other side of the room. No, he sat down with us and said, look, here are some areas you can improve in, but here are some areas that you did really well in. He cared about the students. And when God deals with us, He deals with us as with sons. He's not like the unloving teacher that's just there for a job and wants to get paid. No, He loves us. He cares about us. He intimately knows us. We are His pupils. We are His children. He loves us enough to chasten us tenderly. Notice what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And the Bible is very, very honest with us, is it not? God's word is very honest. What kind of parent would God be if He did not correct us? What kind of parent would we be if we did not correct our children? Parents who love their children will chasten their children, will correct them. Parents who love their children will correct them because every child needs correction. If you see your child or grandchild playing with a cigarette lighter in the car, what would you do? Well, the world says, well, just let them play with it and burn themselves and, hey, they'll learn their lesson in the end. But what's the problem with that? They may not burn themselves, they may permanently injure themselves, they may drop that cigarette lighter in the car, they may cause a fire. That so-called philosophy of, well, let's just let them learn from their mistakes, sometimes doesn't lead to just a little mistake, but a mistake that cannot be changed. That's the world's philosophy of parenting. What's God's philosophy? He says, no, correct that child before their choices lead them to destruction. Correct that child to protect them from the danger of their wrong choices. And God does the same in our lives as well. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see, the Heavenly Father loves us. We are His pupils. We are His children. And He loves us enough to know that we need corrected. Now, what's the point in saying that? Well, it's a wonderful thing when you and I understand the Word of God, and we say to ourselves, well, if God is chastening me, it's because I need it, and it's because He loves me. And it's a wonderful thing when we stop in our Christian lives and we ask the question, Lord, what do You want me to learn from this? We get through that phase of trying to wriggle off the operating table, trying to get out of it, trying to run away from what He's doing in our lives, and we stop and we say, Lord, what are You trying to do in my life? What is the lesson You want to teach me? Because remember, the more we wriggle, the more God has to amplify His chastening work. The more we try to get out of it, none of us can run from the Lord, the more God continues to correct. We need to at least stop and say, Lord, I know that you're dealing with me. I know that you're dealing with me. I know that you are correcting me. And it's a wonderful thing when we stop and we realize that. That's why the Word of God tells us, don't forget how God works. Because He does deal with us. And so often we become discouraged and we give up in the Christian life because we sit back and we say, this isn't fair. You know, I don't deserve this. Joseph could have said that. Joseph didn't sin. But God was dealing with him. God was changing him. God was preparing him, refining him. And did God ever let Joseph down? Yes or no? No. There were moments of agony and trial, but God never let Joseph down. He always protected him. He always looked after him. And in the end, God brought Joseph through to a plan that Joseph could never have enjoyed and been blessed by if he did not stay under the chastening hand of God. You see, we need to understand we are God's pupils. And there is a purpose behind His work in our lives. Thirdly, let's look at that for a moment. God's purpose. God's purpose. God's purpose. Your third blank is the word purpose. Now, how many of you like me, when you face trials, when you face difficulties, you ask the Lord, Lord, what is your purpose in this? Lord, why are you allowing this? Sometimes we really don't ask God the question, but we accuse God. We say, Lord, I don't deserve this. Why have you allowed this into my life? Now, we don't always know the answer to that question. The end of the story. Joseph did not know. But you see, God had a purpose in Joseph's life. God has a purpose and a plan in our lives. And we do know some things from the Scriptures. What is God's purpose in chastening? For God dealeth with you as with sons. He's dealing with us. That means He's got a purpose. Is that correct? If He didn't have a purpose, He would not deal with us. What is His purpose? Well, have a look in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Those verses are there in your notes. Feel free to look them up in your Bibles. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Now, notice verse 28. One of our favorite verses, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His, what's the next word? Purpose. Now, oftentimes we stop right there at the end of that verse and we memorize that verse, which is great, but you see, the verse 28 goes into verse 29. It's a continuing truth. Notice verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, all things work together for good. We know that. But we need to be careful to understand that not all things work together for good for your purpose. Amen? Not all things work together for good for my purpose. We all have different purposes in life, don't we? For some of us, it's money. For some of us, it's comfort. I said us, not you. For some of us, it's comfort. For some of us, it's pleasure. For some of us, it's entertainment. For some of us, it's security. You know, we work not necessarily because we want money, but because we just like the feeling of security. If I don't have much in the bank account, I get a little bit nervous. I'm not comfortable. So if I don't have thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, then I'm nervous, I'm worried. And really, there is no amount that is enough at the end of the day in that kind of attitude. But the reality is, we all have different purposes. But God has some purposes as well. And He works all things together for good in our lives in order to bring us in line with His purpose. Now, what are some purposes that God would chasten us to bring us in line with? Well, notice verse 29, that we might be conformed to His Son. So what does that mean, church family? It means this, that God will chasten you and I for a purpose. To conform us into the image of His Son, to change us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He chastens us. That's why his chastening is good for us. Because you see, when we are saved and placed into the school of faith, God's goal is to transform us. To transform us to be more like Christ. To transform us to know Christ, to know him, to walk with him, to enjoy the blessings of the Christian life, to be transformed from the inside out. We are transformed, we are renewed every day by the Spirit of God. And that's his goal. And then at times God needs to stop. He needs to chasten us. He needs to work on an area of our life. And that is our life in the school of faith. What is God's point in this lesson, in this series of lessons? His point is this. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. This is my purpose. Now, we may not like it because it's uncomfortable. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that, look in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. God is not deceiving us. He's being honest with us. He says, look, don't be surprised if chastening is not joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are, what's the next word? Exercised thereby. Now, we'll come to this verse in other lessons, but it's not always joyous. It's often grievous. Why? Because God is at work operating on our lives. And we need to understand that he has a purpose so that we would be changed to the image of Christ. Now, notice there in your notes, Romans 8:29, just another thought, that he, the Lord Jesus, might be the firstborn among many, what's the next word? Brethren. So here's another thought. He wants to conform us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, but also there are many brethren. There are many others that are to be saved. And God wants us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to know him and walk in the Spirit and enjoy the fruits of a Christian life, but also that if we are like Jesus Christ, then he can use us to reach others for Christ. Is that right? You see, that is God's purpose. God hasn't left us here for the purpose of money. God hasn't left us here for the purpose of pleasure. God has left us here for the purpose of Christ-likeness and the Great Commission. And see, when you and I get out of line, we're not in line with God's purposes, what does he do? Well, chastening. His chastening hand. We don't like it, but we need it. And when we do come into line, would you agree with me this morning that God's purposes are much better than our own? God's purposes are much more fulfilling than our own. God's purposes are much more joyful than our own. I mean, there is no greater joy in leading a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy in walking with the Lord. And though we have a world falling apart around us, we have peace in our hearts. We have joy that you cannot explain mathematically, scientifically. We have a peace that passeth all understanding. See, God has something much greater for you and I than our own purposes. But he will bring us back into line. It is a hard lesson to learn for all of us. But all things work together for good, for his purposes. Lastly, God's proving. God's proving. Now, God's chastening proves something in our life. Notice there in your Bibles or in your notes, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8, God's proving. What does chastening prove? Well, have a look in verse 8 with me. In our last point, God's proving, Roman numeral number 4. Notice verse number 8. The Bible says, but, now be careful, if ye be without chastisement, correction, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards. The word bastard, obviously, is the true meaning of the word, is someone without a father. Ye are without a father. That's what the Bible says. If God does not chasten you, then you are not even part of his family. That's what the Bible teaches. If God does not chasten us, it proves to us we are not even saved. We are not even Christians. Now, turn that around for a moment. If God is chastening us, If we know He's dealing with us as with a son, if we understand that He has put us under the weight of His chastening hand, then what does that do? Well, that proves something to you and I, doesn't it? It proves that we are His children. That's right. We are His sons. And it ought to comfort us that, hey, God is dealing with me because I'm His child. Now, if my children are in a group of other children and everyone's acting up, everyone's disobeying, and my children disobey, am I going to correct all the children in that group? No, I hope not. I get in big trouble. No, I'm going to correct my children. Why? Because those other children are not mine. I'm just going to correct my children. Why? Because they belong to my family. The other children belong to someone else's family. That's their responsibility, not mine. I'm not going to discipline them, chasten them, because God doesn't chasten other children. God doesn't chasten those who are not His own. No, He chastens His own. We need to be careful to ask the question, am I a Christian? Am I really saved? Does God chasten me, or does He just let me go off in my sin without any correction at all? Does He just let me live the life that I please without any disciplinary action? You know, many people in the world live a life of pleasure in sin. Why? Because God is long-suffering. Yes, He does, in a measure, allow them to experience the consequences of sin, but for the Christian, it's very, very different. When we sin, God allows it, but we experience the leanness of our soul, the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God, the uncomfortable distance between our relationship with God. We experience the consequences of sin, yes, but God steps in and reminds us lovingly and gently, hey, you need to get right. You need to come back in line. You need to grow in this area. See, God's chastening proves something. It proves that we are His children. And that ought to reassure us. That ought to comfort us. That ought to encourage us. So as we wrap up this morning, let me encourage you to endure the course that God has set for you. At different times of our lives, God brings us into different courses in the school of faith. Courses of correction, education, teaching, His chastening hand. Let me encourage you to stay under the pressure. God's chastening. He tells us to endure. Just stay there. God will do His work. Don't wriggle out of it. Don't try and weasel your way around it, thinking you can run from God. None of us can run from God. But if you and I stay in the class that God puts us in, amen, we will graduate like the heroes of faith of old with a good report. Amen. Amen. We are God's pupils. We are His students. We've learned this morning. God loves us. He deals with us as with sons. Not aliens. Not reprobates. But as sons. As children. Looks into our lives lovingly and caringly to correct, to protect. God's purpose is His own. If God takes away from us something that's precious to us and we hold close to our hearts, but it's not in line with His purpose, then we need to come to the point eventually to say, thank You, Lord, for taking that away. Lord, thank You for correcting me, for chastening me, because that issue in my life is stopping me from being a soul winner. You know, that whatever it is, that's stopping me from being the witness I ought to be. That passion, that lust, that addiction, that thing, that materialism, whatever it may be. And God deals with us. God chastens us to correct us, to bring us into line with His will. It's because He has a purpose. It's much greater than our own. And then lastly, God's chastening proves to us that we are His sons. We are His children. Don't forget this exhortation this week, church family. Don't forget. Amen? Amen. Rejoice. Say, thank You, Lord, for dealing with me. Lord, it does not feel good right now, but thank You for dealing with me. Imagine if You just let us go our own way. How far would each of us go? How low would each of us fall. How painful. You know, God's chastening is not as painful as our own way. Let me put it this way as we close. God's chastening is not as painful. Though it's grievous and not joyous at times, it's not as painful as you and I going our own way and experiencing the destruction of sin in our lives and not experiencing the joy of His purposes fulfilled in our home, in our family, in our ministry. May God be glorified as we put His word into our lives.